Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas. You have us until 6:35 tonight, and then we bring you Cleveland Indians baseball. The Tribe back home for the first time in a while, playing host to the Seattle Mariners. Hey, if you'd like tickets to a game, coming up a little bit later on this homestand, Wednesday, May 8th to be exact, when the Tribe take on the Chicago White Sox. Wait for your cue to call, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We are giving away a four-pack of tickets to see the Tribe and White Sox next Wednesday, May 8th. Wait for your cue to call after we wrap up with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Rosie, as always, my friend, a pleasure to have you on. How are you today?
Doing great, Bull. Thanks.
Well, I'm sure you guys are glad to be back home, and, well, the day you guys get back, it's nice and gray and gloomy, but hopefully Mother Nature is able to cooperate here and not rain on the parade. But, boy, raining on the parade, something that certainly did happen to the Indians over the road trip. And, of course, I'm talking about the last game of the roadie with the injury to Corey Kluber. Obviously a gigantic dent in the rotation with a broken bone in his forearm. Based on what you saw in spring training, Rosie, who are some of the likely candidates to be called on to try and replace him in the rotation?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it's not only how pitchers perform, but also where they stand in terms of the 40-man roster, and you like to have that part of flexibility. But obviously, you know, Jeffrey Rodriguez was going to come up anyway to make the start for Mike Clevinger. That part was, you know, I think part of the equation anyway. So he's up, but now you need another one. And, you know, I'll be surprised if it's not Cody Anderson. Now, there are some pitchers down there pitching, you know, numbers-wise a little bit better. Asher Wojciechowski, who we saw in spring training, has been phenomenal so far. He would be one. And there's a couple of others, but they're not on the 40-man. So, I don't know. I'll be surprised if it's not Cody Anderson. It may be someone different, but I think that might be the name that they're looking at. He's a little bit short in terms of innings availability because he's coming back from the Tommy John, and so far I think his longest stint has been 3 innings. But, you know, they maybe have a chance to build him up here a little bit more before that turn comes open later on the homestand. So I guess those would be the candidates. We'll probably learn more this afternoon, though, when Terry Francona talks to the media.
And, you know, another question to throw out there, and there's certainly no right or wrong answer to this, but, you know, obviously it's a bit of a concern, but do you think this actually is going to affect the rotation more, or do you think this is going to affect the bullpen more? Simply because, you know, if they go with a guy like Cody Anderson, you know, he's going to be a little bit limited as far as, you mentioned, how long he will last in a game, and in that regard, maybe that puts a little more pressure on the bullpen to pick up a few more innings. Who do you think this affects more?
Boy, that's a good question. Yeah, it probably is both. I mean, you know, your rotation will be different for sure. And really, it's without two of your top starting pitchers. I know it. You know, most recently, it's the Kluber injury that kind of puts them in a bind. But because they're short Mike Clevinger, that it really hurts. So, you know, it hurts the rotation, and it will put a little bit extra on the bullpen, but. You know, they might end up bringing another arm up here from that standpoint if it works out. You know, we'll see. They've been carrying an extra infielder for a while just to make sure Francisco Lindor doesn't get overextended. But with some off days we've had here, they may go ahead and make that move, you know, trade out an infielder for a reliever and see if that's helpful because of the situation in the starting rotation.
Rosie, you referenced Mike Clevinger, and you know, a lot of times body language can say a lot about a guy, and you know, he of course was with the team on the recent road trip, seemed to be very upbeat, and again, if body language tells us anything, it seems as though he's still in good spirits given his injury diagnosis. Now, as we understand it, he's been throwing a little bit from 60 feet. Is it safe to say that so far he's progressing nicely, and based on that, is there any chance it may be an earlier than expected return?
It is safe to say that he is progressing nicely. That is very safe to say. I watched him throw on both occasions in Miami, and the bullets, like, you know, you figure, all right, guy's coming back from an injury, he'll just kind of lob it from 60 feet to loosen up a little bit. I mean, he was firing it, just letting it rip. And I asked James Quinlan, the trainer, about that, because he was catching him. I said, how's your hand? And That was okay. But he said, he said, some guys, they can't throw soft. It's just not in their DNA, and it actually hurts them more if they try and slow it down. So that's how Mike goes about it. He just lets it rip, and that's what he was doing, and they're okay with that. And he felt good after each time he threw, so that's good. Here's the thing. He can't come off the 60-day DL until, I believe it's June the 7th, so which is probably a good thing, because as encouraging as it is to see him throw hard from 60 feet and, you know, just in a catch situation, they need to take the, you know, the steps necessary to build him up properly and make sure that he doesn't overdo it. So that's kind of a built-in governor, so to speak, on that. So June the 7th would be the earliest, but I really think, well, when the injury initially happened, nobody was thinking much before August. So if it's closer to June the 7th than August, that's a great thing. Probably too early to tell if that's the case, but certainly very encouraging watching him throw and play catch and just talking to him. I mean, I think he'd love to go out there tomorrow and pitch, but he's feeling really good.
Is it safe to say, too, that maybe that's why they decided not to go the route of surgery? Because, you know, with surgery, certainly this wouldn't be possible for him to be throwing like that from 60 feet. You think that's another reason why they elected to go this route as opposed to putting him under the knife?
Well, no. I think they just looked at it, and this was the best course of action. I mean, if he was indeed hurt worse and surgery was the best way to repair the injury, then they would do that. But they didn't think it was the best way to repair it. And, you know, surgeries are so common in any sport now. You just think, well, guy gets hurt, surgery. You know, they'll be fine in a little while. But every time you go in there, it changes things. It's not an automatic that if you have surgery that everything else is going to work out fine. So in reality, surgery is usually a last resort. So I don't think it ever came to that because of the initial exams that they did on Mike Clevenger didn't dictate that surgery was necessary. So I think that's the most important part of why he did or didn't.
Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You can hear Rosie tonight beginning at 6:35 with Indians warm-up. He and Tom Hamilton will have the call this evening as the Indians play host to the Seattle Mariners. Rosie, a few days ago, you had a nice pregame conversation during Indians warm-up with Carlos Gonzalez, who certainly has had a very nice effect in the middle of that Indians batting order. You know, it's been refreshing to see him in there and get him in there just about every single day. What were your major takeaways with that conversation with Carlos Gonzalez? You know, it really kind of seems like he settled in nicely.
Yeah, he has, and I guess the, you know, on-field takeaway is that he's still a little ways away from being where he'd like to be, but that doesn't mean that when you take your at-bats that you don't do everything possible. And in his case, he just said, you know, you've got to battle in your at-bats and somehow find a way, if there's runners on, to drive them in or get on base. Now, he hit a huge home run the night before, so that was the best result that you can get. But, you know, he said it right now, he's just battling to make something positive happen each at-bat. And then the other takeaway is, you know, he's all in on this team and doing what he can as a veteran player who's been around, had success, to help some of the younger players be as good as they can be. And a lot of that happens in the clubhouse and, you know, on the field before the games. And that's really encouraging. I mean, he's jumped right in, which has been nice because he hasn't been here that long. And sometimes that's hard to do, but he has some pedigree. Certainly younger players respect him because of what he's done in the game. And I think he's aware of that and has used that to try and be the best teammate he can be.
Well, and another guy I think that really has certainly benefited from his presence and also the presence of Frankie Lindor at the top of the order, too, is a guy that certainly struggled at the beginning of the year. His struggles have been documented. But, you know, Rosie, it just seems like Jose Ramirez, while he may not be hitting the ball all that well, is it safe to say that he's had some better at-bats over the last week or two? Because it just seems like he's finding his way on base more often, if nothing else.
Yeah, and I think that's fair to say. And there's been some hard hit outs, things like that. He's still a ways away from what we're used to, but I think you're seeing more of the old Jose a little more often than maybe we have been. It's still very much a work in progress. It doesn't hurt that Francisco Lindor's back in the lineup, certainly. I think sometimes any player, whether it's Ramirez this year or in the past, when they think they have to not necessarily do it all, but do more than they normally do, that's usually a recipe for some tough times. And I think some of that has been in play where, you know, he's, for a little while there, he was the only really established major league hitter who's had a great track record in recent years in that lineup. Now, Carlos Santana, you know, would it be close to that, certainly. But outside of those two, it was pretty slim. So you're seeing a little bit more balance with Lindor back, with Gonzalez in the lineup, and that's good for Jose. So, yeah, I think there's a little bit of progress, but still a ways to go.
And another guy I want to throw out there as well, Rosie, you mentioned sometimes guys, they feel the need to try and take on and do too much. A guy that hit the ball really well at the beginning of the year, but he's gotten himself into a little bit of a funk recently. You know, Leonis Martin, it's a great story, regardless of what he produces numbers-wise this season. But, you know, he struggled a bit as of late, and this was a tough road trip for him. You feel like a lot of the same elements might be at play there for him, too, maybe trying to do too much?
Maybe, and you know, he hit some home runs early, which might not have been the best thing in the world because he's not a home run hitter. So maybe getting a little bit away from what works well for him. And the other thing to remember, Bull, he was way above what his career numbers would indicate. So some of it may just be kind of getting back to what he's been. Now he's obviously trying to be better than that, but you know, sometimes for someone who's been around for a while, and he has been, you know, it's hard to take that next step forward. And he had that good stretch there, so hopefully he can get back to some of that and not worry as much. And not that he's worrying about it, but not think of himself as much as a power hitter, more of an on base guy who can make some things happen with his legs.
Well, Rosie, we'll cut you loose on this. We've referenced it a couple of times already. Mariners in town tonight. They're here throughout the weekend to begin a six-game homestand. With the Mariners in town tonight, you know, they've struggled a little bit of late. Kikuchi and Bieber, the pitching matchup for tonight. What are some things that you'll be highlighting a little bit later on this evening? What are you looking forward to most in this series?
Well, you know, when the Indians saw the Mariners early, they were the hottest hitting team in baseball by a lot. They were going to cool off at some point, and they have a little bit. And this was a team that I think heading into the season, many thought that it was a team rebuilding or kind of taking a step back to see where they were at. So it may be a little bit different ball club, but yeah, I think the Indians, regardless of who they were playing this weekend, they have it's the mental challenge this weekend and beyond. That was not an easy night on Wednesday night. They lost the game, so they don't have a winning road trip. And more importantly, they lose a Cy Young Award winner who, while he wasn't having the best start to his season, you just felt it was right around the corner when he would get on one of his patented Corey Kluber runs, where for a month and a half, 2 months, he's unhittable. And that's not going to happen now. So how does this team deal with that? And I think that'll be the interesting thing to watch this weekend. Do they do what they've done so often under Terry Francona and not worry about who's here or who's hurt and just worry about who's here and can help? Or is it a challenge this weekend? Because it was, the plane ride home, Bull, was, you could just tell it wasn't easy. And guys were down a little bit, more so than just because they lost a game. I think it was their leader of this staff, whether he has the best stuff now on the staff or not, he's still that acknowledged leader of the staff. And to see him go down is not the easiest thing in the world. So I'll be interested to see how they play this weekend with that kind of in the rearview mirror.
Well, we are certainly looking forward to it a little bit later on tonight. Again, India's warm-up, 6:35. Jim Rosenhaus will have that for you. He and Tom Hamilton have the call tonight as the Indians take on the Mariners. Rosie, we look forward to the call tonight. Thank you, as always, for the time. And we look forward to doing this again soon.
You got it, Bull. Thanks.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, phone lines are open. If you want a four-pack of tickets to see the Indians take on the Chicago White Sox, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, be the first to call, 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. A four-pack of tickets to see the Indians and White Sox on Wednesday, May 8th at Progressive Field. The four-pack of tickets is yours if you're the first to call. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return after this here on AM 930 WEOL.